Hello and welcome, all of our friends, all five of you, to season 2, episode 18 of Sour Grapes with Amy and Etta. As usual, I'm Amy.
I'm Etta.
And she's Etta, and we are here to talk about our Sweet times 2 Baylor Bears going into the Sweet 16. They've both made it, as of Tuesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. recording, both teams have officially advanced to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
So let's start the night off with a round of applause, or a cheers. A cheers for our Baylor cheers. Bears, the women and the men. Etta, how's it going tonight?
It's going well. How's it going there? Are you drinking water, or are there ice cubes in your wine?
I am doing like a wine spritzer tonight. Okay. Again, I am trying to get rid of the white wine in my house. So I'm doing white wine with sparkling water and ice cubes. We're very high class in the Padgett house today. What are you drinking? You're drinking good wine.
I'm drinking good wine. I went and bought some celebratory wine today. So I'm drinking a Belle Gloss Pinot Noir. I'm undecided on this, if it's like an American pronunciation where it's gloss, or if it's a French pronunciation Glossé. Where it's glow. So
glow. Oh. And so, anyone want to weigh in there on yeah. us?
Anyway, but it was Dairyman, Russian River Valley, Sonoma County.
That, yeah, hopefully I will be back on the red wine. Soon.
Yeah.
Next time I'm doing red wine. What when we are celebrating our advancement.
The white wine to like your mother-in-law or a neighbor, or could you do that?
Well, I do give some of it away, but I just have so much, and then it's not economical because that's true. Todd Padgett doesn't play that game. I'm not just giving it away.
We bought that wine. You're going to drink it. There are wineless orphans in Africa.
But I will. If we are in the Final Four next week and we are recording next week, I will be drinking red wine.
Woo!
And then if we win the national championship,
I already researched what bubbly I will buy. So,
what are you going to buy? Nope, we're not. Even
no,
talk
no, no.
About
we're
it.
Not going there.
Not even going to talk about it.
Nope.
Not even going to talk about it. We're not going to curse anything. Okay, so I have a really fun opening question tonight, and I did not tell you about this
beforehand.
I thought about it, and then I didn't want to give you time to think.
Okay.
So we were just talking about before we got on air, we are so delighted by the Baylor men's basketball team and their bubble fun, in which they're playing all of the wholesome games like kickball, and
it's so precious.
Today we just saw the Connect Four tournament, which the championship round came down to LJ and Davion Mitchell. And so my question for tonight, what wholesome, fun game would you dominate in the bubble?
Oh my gosh.
I know, I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm really good at Ticket to Ride.
I don't even know what that is.
It's this board game where you have to you have to build train routes, and you start out with these cards that say like you need to connect these number of cities, and you have to build routes connecting all of them, and you get points for having the longest contiguous train, and you there's all these ways to get extra points, and I have a really hard time because I play with my kids a lot, and I am cutthroat, and it's really not fair to them. So
I've never heard of this game in my life.
We have multiple versions of it.
Problem solving.
Yeah.
And like good and that. Oh man.
And you have to have like some strategery because like. There's certain routes that you definitely need for your route, but there's only 2 train capacity between there or something like that. So if somebody else builds there first, you might have to go a long way around. And Yeah.
Oh, heck.
So.
Okay, I'm looking this up right now.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So I think that's probably the game I would dominate. I'm also pretty good at Settlers.
Never played that one either.
Yeah. That one, I just feel like that one has a tendency to lead to strife. We used to have a rule that, like, what happens in Catan stays in Catan.
Right. And we don't necessarily, like...
And it takes hours. Like,
from a bubble perspective,
it's a commitment.
We don't want our team, like, getting angry at each other.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to go with, like, basic...
I'm good at chicken foot.
I used to sit in my third grade classroom in the morning, and I would always be one of the students who got there earliest, and I used to sit over in the reading corner with Connect Four, and, like, people would come in and challenge me, and no one could beat me, and I loved that.
I don't know that I've ever played Connect Four.
Oh, I love it.
It's like the one with the little coins that you drop.
It's what they were playing tonight. Yeah, you drop them in and you try to get four in a row. And it's infuriating, but also really, really fun. I like that one. And then maybe chess. And then I was thinking, because I was on the chess team, Etta.
Oh my gosh. This might be the nerdiest thing you've ever admitted
to me. I did win some trophies, my friend.
Oh my gosh.
Old State of Kentucky chess team Amy. Chess, and then I was gonna say, like, just give me some Harry Potter book trivia and I will
I could dominate trivia night. I mean, not as well, there's categories that I can dominate trivia.
Right Oh, I'm
music,
I'm very,
don't call me for anything music.
No,
I don't know. No. I don't know if I've shared this with our listeners that I took my husband to a Smashing Pumpkins concert, and I'm not a huge concert person. They kind of stress me out. Crowds stress me out. Darkness with lots of crowds really stresses me out.
Uh-huh.
So after the concert, he was like, "What'd you think?" And I was like, "Well, they didn't really play this one song, and I was really expecting them to because I thought it was really popular for them." And he goes, "Well, which one?" And I hummed it, and he goes, "Well, they didn't play that song because that's a song by Nirvana."
I could not name you a single Smashing Pumpkins song.
I can now.
I couldn't do it.
I did not grow up listening to Smashing Pumpkins, so.
Still don't. Yeah, no.
All the classic rock, I can tell you probably the band, maybe not the song title, but.
Yeah. I'm also, like, I think because I grew up in Marion, Kentucky, and, like, the biggest cities were hours away. Like, I'm not really a concert. I think I've maybe been to, like, 5 or 6 concerts in my whole entire life.
I've been to a lot of festivals.
In a huge metroplex.
We grew up going to bluegrass festivals as, like, vacation. But, I know. But I haven't been to that many actual concerts, so.
Actual concerts?
Yeah.
I
hope y'all are picturing me at Burning Man, because that would be hilarious.
Hell yeah. Little 5-year-old Etta just came down.
With my mullet.
Sweet little mullet, baby. Bubble fun. Okay. So you are playing the train ride, which looks really, really fun, and I'm
it is really fun. I highly recommend it.
And general thoughts on the NCAA tournament, and I think that we both really want to let it fly on the NCAA at this point, so I'm going to let you have the first at-bat here.
Okay.
Because I think you're also more into the weeds with it than I am.
Well, I just... I mean, I don't love the NCAA in general. I think they're fairly heinous. They are a non-government entity that likes to pretend like they're a government entity, and they insist on idiotic amateurism rules for students while simultaneously making millions and millions of dollars off of students. But that's a whole other issue to what has been going on this week. So this week, for those of you, I don't know, maybe y'all took a break from the the Twitterverse, but the women's weight room, and we are using room very generously here, was found to be literally like a stand of weights. One stand.
And a massage table.
Oh, and yeah, like and a massage table.
Or a trainer table? I don't know.
I mean, I think a trainer table and a massage table can be interchangeable, minus the little head thingy. Deshaun
Watson somewhere hanging out, I don't know, in the background.
Oh, my gosh.
Creep.
Oh, maybe we should cut that part.
Nope.
Anyway. So
they're in separate bubbles, first of all.
Right. They're in separate states. I mean, the men are in Indianapolis. Right. Women are in San Antonio. So it's not like they could share weight rooms.
Right.
And the men's weight room is like full up weight room. Like treadmills and bikes and multiple racks. And, I don't know enough about heavy weight training to know what all the different apparati are called. Apparatuses? I don't know. Whatever the plural of apparatus is.
Yeah. Apparati sounds good.
I guess it depends on the root language.
Is it not still weird to you, though, that it's like they've set this up in a conference room, like ballroom at the JW Marriott?
And like, then they tried to be like, well, there wasn't enough room.
I would go to the Colts or something and be like, well, I mean, just like... In both of the cities, there are professional sports organizations. And I'm like, can you not figure out some way for them to go to a legitimate, like, weightlifting gym, a facility? Like, That's weird to me.
Added on top of this, you know, last week we were making fun of the food for the men. But, I mean, I have since seen some of the food, and it was not bad.
No.
But it made the women's food look, or the women's food made it look gourmet. The women had like, I mean, all the only thing I can describe it as is like late 80s lunchroom food. And they were calling it Salisbury steak, but it sort of looked like you could have told me it was a knockoff McRib patty and I would have believed it, or that it was meatloaf. I would have believed that too. And it's just so frustrating. It's like...
Like I've been to... large events where I'm not a world-class athlete and I'm getting fed better things than what those women in San Antonio are getting fed.
I have eaten dehydrated backpacking food that looked better than what they were eating.
They do this when they put on a production, like when they have a conference at their hotel, when they like they put on catering and stuff like that. It boggles my mind that.
I mean, and I just think
that this is the disparity.
Then the fact that you know,
how much money is the NCAA making off of this? That's.
Like, but even before that, like the woman, I think it's a woman who is in charge of women's basketball for the NC2A. And she looked embarrassed in the press conference that I saw with her, which rightfully so. But she was saying...
Because she got caught, though?
Well, she was like, this was just an oversight. I'm like, you know what? I have done event contracts. You put it in there, what you want, what the expectation is. This is not an oversight. This is you guys being cheap and shitty people and hoping you wouldn't get called on it. But... It's 2021, and in case you guys haven't noticed, the TikTok generation is awake and well, and, you know, they're not just BTS fans wrecking presidential things. They're also using their platforms to call attention to injustices.
I mean, if I find a shrimp tail in my cereal, I can go viral on Twitter in like 10 minutes. So the idea that...
I'm very invested in Shrimpgate, but...
The idea that they thought that no one was going to notice that...
Or say anything.
Right. It's fascinating. And again, I always go back to this whole... And I have tweets in my time hop from like 2-3 years ago being like... It would be amazing if all the college athletes just said, we're not going to play in this tournament. This, like, I would hate it. It would devastate me. And it would devastate. But I mean, like, at the end of the day, one team is going to be the champions at the end of it.
You
could really wreck some stuff if you did that.
Where was this might have been in the Ion Basketball podcast at the end of last week, where they were talking about how back in like 2003-ish, Pat Summitt, who, like, when we think of Pat Summitt, we all think of like Hall of Fame, amazing coach, amazing teams, and had been amazing by that point for a while.
A long time.
And they showed up. And the hotel they were in was also hosting like a police dog convention.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so the every dogs time,
barked at them and she said like, "I'm glad you're upset, but I'm not surprised," or something like that. And she was like, "Yeah, this is how it is."
It's just that's just crazy to me. I'm not surprised. I'm not mad, just disappointed. No, but I'm mad though too.
I'm mad, but I'm not surprised. That's how it goes.
Right.
And even watching tonight, like on the TV. Just the amount of fanfare around. And, like, the men's games have been muted. Fewer fans, just kind of, like, a weirder atmosphere. But, I mean, it definitely, the lighting in the women's gym tonight.
I mean, in the past, women's games. It just seems like
high school basketball.
They sell out, though. That's the thing. It's not like nobody's there in person watching these games. These are sellout events in normal years. I mean, I assume there's sellout events this year, but the sellout is much smaller. So, I mean, it's not like these events are not well attended. So,
I know.
This is something I didn't know until this week, and I don't think you did either. But men's teams get a cut of the money when they win. And I don't know if that's split between the team itself and the conference. I assume it is in some way.
I think so, yeah.
The women don't. Not at all. And the men's...
That's insane to me.
The men's contract with the NCAA for this year for TV rights is $840 million for this year. The women's is like $42 million for this year alone because it's part of a contract that shares revenue between like 24 different sports. But if you're selling out all your games and you have the same number of games as the men's tournament and... they're also selling out. Seems to me like you're pocketing a hell of a lot of money for not giving any of that to the women's teams themselves.
Well, and I just... there is a prevailing thought about women's athletic programs that they are, at best, revenue neutral. And in most cases, they are in the red. I think that Baylor is perhaps one of the few, like, women's basketball teams that breaks even every year. But that's for the schools.
Right.
For the NCAA, my whole thing is, like, what is it that you do here? Because you don't really hand out punishment to deter illegal actions, like, in a timely manner. Because we've got several teams all over the country right now who are still waiting on, like, rulings to come down to let them know what their penalty is for this or for that. Legitimately, what do you do here? What do you do?
What is it would you say you do here?
Yeah. I mean, it is...
They're certainly not enforcing anything.
No, they're not enforcing anything. They are... And it's known. Like, it is not a dirty little secret. Like, it's not a secret at all. It's blatant and outright known that, like, if you are a blue blood and you get caught doing something you're not supposed to do, like, the joke is that some poor, like... sister of the poor school within your own state is going to get punished for something that, you know, as like a retroactive way to like enforce your bigness for the NCAA. You know, I don't know what the solution is. Because I don't know where it all, like, I don't know where it all falls apart. And I don't know. I don't know. I just think that we can all agree that it's crap right now. And the daily ESPN podcast this week, yesterday, Monday morning, had a really good episode on the name, image, and likeness suit that is the antitrust suit that is going to be heard or decided upon soon. And I'm just kind of watching and wondering how long the whole organization stays on.
I don't know. I'm not quite to the point where I am with like USA Gymnastics where I'm like, let's just burn it to the ground and start over.
Right.
But I'm close.
Well, my whole thing is like, you could have college athletics without the NCAA.
That's true. Absolutely.
Because like what? Division... Well, okay, so the podcast that I was listening to was differentiating between, I think Division II athletes are able to do endorsements and stuff off of, like, their Instagram and social media accounts, but Division I athletes can't, and that's an NC2A thing.
Huh. Weird.
So, like, they're governed by a different body.
Yeah.
So you don't really need you.
So it'd be like
NCAA.
Whatever it's called in Texas versus TAPS or whatever.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
I don't know. It just all seems very corrupt. And I am very glad that they got the appropriate backlash whenever they did finally like put together the weight room for the women. And everyone was just like, good job.
And they had their like tweet that was like, let's go. Yeah. Open Matt is bare mouth. And I was,
yeah.
I was like, no. I'm sorry. You don't get. I don't know. It just makes me mad.
I don't know. Yeah. I think it was Femi. Who tweeted, I don't necessarily, starting to think they're not acting in good faith.
Yes, it was.
The good old NCAA. Yeah, I'm kind of there. I'm there right now. But if we are able to move beyond our outrage and our righteous indignation, it has been a very fun past like 5 days of sports, of basketball. Oh my
gosh, it's been so wonderful. Like, I'm not going to say it makes up for not having March Madness last year, but this has been an excellent March Madness.
It makes us appreciate it more.
Oh, it sure does. I have watched so much basketball.
I swear that my favorite thing on earth is when my team plays early on day one of the tournament and I can just spend the next 2 days cackling at upsets.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Did you happen to sleep through any upsets?
Yes, I did, Etta. Thank you for asking. So first of all, let's set the scene here.
Yes.
You and I are texting Saturday morning, afternoon.
Right.
We're both kind of high on Friday. You know, we had the Grant McCasland UNT win. We had Paul Mills, Oral Roberts win. We had the Baylor win.
Yep.
And which I said to you.
Ironically, we picked all of those.
Yeah.
Which
we did.
I don't want to pretend like I have any sort of bracket prowess because that was literally just like luck that all of my petties lined up with the weird upsets from this year. Because if I were a fully informed bracketologist or bracketeer, whatever we're calling them.
There's no way I would have
picked those. There's no way. No. Yeah.
If I cared. Yeah, no.
Yeah. In fact, our we have an Amy and Etta bracket in addition to our individual brackets in the bracket challenge. And I just used the like ESPN like informed computer. I let it pick for us.
Oh.
And it is not doing as well as we are individually because it used metrics to choose and it did not choose those upsets.
You can't measure and you can't quantify March.
No.
You just can't.
This is March.
Okay. But anyway, so I legitimately sent you the text on Saturday and I said, was it either which do you want more or which would make you happier? Bryce Drew, GCU win, or a Longhorns loss?
You
and
did.
And you were the virtuous one who said a Bryce Drew win because you want all the happy Drew family dominance.
Yeah.
And I said, I think I could live on the Longhorn tears for like the rest of my life. And then I went to bed.
Yeah.
I went to bed that night before the game even started. I wasn't feeling good.
Yeah.
Thought I was getting a cold. Went to bed. Woke up several times in the night. Thought about checking my phone. And I was like, nah, it's going to be a dominant Texas win.
It's going to destroy your circadian rhythm to check the phone.
And then I woke up at like 6:50 a.m. and saw on my phone that they had lost. And it was like I had immediately had like 7 shots of espresso. I was buzzing for the rest of the day. And then Baylor played and won that afternoon. So it was great. I love it.
It was.
Were you watching in real time?
I was.
And how amazing was it?
Oh, it was super wonderful. Especially... So the next morning, my youngest, who may or may not own Texas gear that I may or may not have purchased for him because I'm trying to pick my battles, I woke him up and said, I just threw like 2 giant horns downs in his face. And he wasn't super happy about that, but he understood.
What was Twitter like, though? Was
oh my gosh,
so
Twitter
Saturday
was amazing.
Night?
It was like old school Twitter. Like pre-2016 Twitter.
I hate that I missed it.
I know. It was amazing. This will teach you to go to bed. You can't go to bed early. And I mean, and then like there were follow-on things like Mac Brown liking a tweet about Texas losing.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like 99% certain that I sent a picture of this to us. But I can't remember what the exact tweet was, so I'm going to go look.
Oh, I hate myself.
But, I mean, it was just, like, fantastic things along those lines, and...
But I'm also superstitious enough that I, like, firmly believe that if I had stayed awake, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. I mean, I can feel that.
But I do think that's the best upset of the weekend.
Yeah.
Do you have another contender? From an emotional point of view, I love like the UNT and the Oral Roberts ones.
No, I definitely think that's, point of view, in my opinion, the best upset of the weekend.
Yeah.
Plus, like, okay, so you remember our whole discussion about whether or not you can trust a man who wears a visor?
Uh-huh.
I have a new theory that sort of goes along with that, that I meant to put into our outline. So I'm kind of, this is my response for you throwing something at me. I'm throwing this at you. My add-on or like subheading of this theory is you can't trust a man who can grow a head of hair like Shaka, who also shaves it. Why are you shaving your head if you can grow that?
I like that.
He's hiding something.
Thrown me for a loop this season.
He's,
like it has just.
He
been
is hiding something. Either he had like the best hair transplant ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because all I can
it
think
does
about
look
is like
because it just
remember
came
that
up
movie
out of nowhere.
Return to Me with Minnie Driver where she has like the heart transplant.
Never seen it.
Oh my god! It's like a great '90s rom-com. She like gets set up on this blind date with this guy who just had hair transplants. And he's like, no, it's supernatural. You can grab it. That's what I think of when I think of hair transplants. So if Shaka's hair is real, why was he shaving it? You can't trust a man who has that much hair and chooses to pick it.
Yeah, I don't.
He's hiding something. He probably has visors at home.
Well. Well, and also, like, at first I thought, well, maybe this has gotten Texas their mojo back, because they were playing pretty well at various times in the season. They won the Big 12 championship tournament. Not the championship. But yeah, no. Texas gonna Texas, man. Tale as old as
time. It's like the A&M roller coaster, but Texas.
Uh-huh. Oh. They have not won an NCAA tournament game since 2014. And then I think they won.
I love it.
One game and went to the round of 32 and then lost another one. But they're always just one coach away, Etta.
It's the next coach. He'll be able to take them there.
Those, bless their hearts. Bless their poor dumb
hearts.
Do we
have to?
Well, no. I don't really bless their hearts. They've done this to themselves.
They are big dumb.
I am eating jalapeno chips, and they are...
A little spicy?
Very spicy. A little bit spicy.
Like the back of the throat spicy rather than the tongue spicy?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, that'll mm-hmm. get you every time.
So the other... I mean, it qualifies as an upset, although I don't think Oregon was a bad team going into the tournament. Didn't they win the Pac-12?
Honestly, I kind of had written off the Pac-12 until, like, this week.
Everyone had.
I know.
Everyone had. And I think that...
I had VCU beating Oregon, so...
Well, but then they didn't even play the dang game.
I know.
Is it unfair to have Oregon go play Iowa on completely fresh legs, though? Like, if you're Iowa, are you a little bit pissed off about that?
Not really. I mean, it's not that fresh. They've played a game. They both have, you know, this week off before they play again.
No, they played yesterday, and Iowa beat them. Or, no, they beat Iowa. They knocked number two seeded Iowa out of the dang tournament.
I'm okay with Iowa losing, so I don't really care.
Well, I'm okay with them losing, but they were, like, supposed to be really, really good. Because they have old Garzilla.
I feel like my poops to give set sail.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles in 2021.
It is. But I would be pissed if I were Baylor and I got beat by a lower seed who got to advance without playing in the round of 68.
I mean, I see why.
I would just be like, that sucks.
I totally understand why people feel that way. But I also feel like it's sort of like back in the BCS days where it was like, you know, we all agree that whoever wins the BCS national championship is the national champion, and then, like, the AP poll chooses someone else.
Yeah.
Like, we all agreed that this is the way it's going to be. We all agreed to these rules for the tournament. So, it sucks. Well, I feel really badly for the kids involved.
Sucks. Yeah.
But I can't find myself being too upset about it. On the other hand, I'm still pissed at USC from 2003 when they claimed co-national championship, even though they didn't win the BCS poll. So
my whole thing is, if Baylor happens to win the next four games, we are national championships. We are national champions and can't nobody tell me nothing. Like, I'm gonna scream that from the rooftops. If we lose in the Sweet 16 or in any proceeding round, is it gonna be like, oh, well, Baylor was overrated all year? Which I think is what everyone wants to say about the Big Ten and various teams around the country. Or is it going to be like, you know what? It was just one bad night. And that's all it takes in the NCAA tournament.
I feel like it's more one bad night. Because
it absolutely is.
It is not like we're playing with this team full of top recruits. You know, there has been a lot of player development going on. And... good coaching, and this team has really gelled, and I just don't think you can look at this team and be like, oh, what a disappointment.
I just feel like that's how it is, though, about the entire tournament every single year.
But how would you feel if we had our worst tournament loss since 1940 to send us out?
Oh, I would still hate myself. And I hated life in 2015 and 2016 when we went out in the first round. Like, it was awful. But if we had won the Big 12 and then gone out in the first round, like, I love to make fun of Texas. I love to make fun of Kansas. But I think a better barometer of how you perform as a basketball team is how you do over the course of a season than how you do in a single elimination tournament. Because I think that to be the national champion, it requires a good team. It requires you to be well coached, for you to be talented, for you to have like a certain chemistry.
And for you to not have a bad game at the wrong time.
And it requires a lot of luck too. Like there are a lot of like tangibles in there. And then there is that just lady luck in there who.
I mean, lady luck is absolutely what got Abilene Christian to where they were, because not a pretty game by either team.
They scored 52 points in regulation. It was
real ugly.
And then Kansas last night lost by like 3-4 points.
That's what I was saying.
You can't objectively tell me. Who did they even lose to?
USC. Oh, USC.
I mean, you can't probably tell me that 7 out of 7 games USC is going to win. It's probably going to be pretty evenly matched. And also, Kansas had the COVID issue.
But, like, how much was it actually a COVID issue? It's one dude. Because, I mean, his roommate also. But, I mean, he's a minor player, doesn't get very many minutes.
But it messes up the chemistry when practice is disrupted at all.
I know, but it's one dude.
I know.
So maybe they should stop crowing over beating a team that had eight dudes sick their second game back. Yes,
that's the larger point. I'm getting the logic of it all is getting there. I'm proving my point by also being a little bit sympathetic to Kansas. By saying, like, I can see how this might throw you guys off.
It'll be interesting to see how many years it is until Kansas is in a tournament again.
Oh.
Are we going there?
Well, again, probably Wichita State will get punished for something.
Or K-State.
Kansas will just keep on going. Yeah, yeah.
Fort Hays State now has a death penalty.
UMKC. Those dang old kangaroos.
That's not in Kansas.
No.
That's the...
Anyway, it'll be... But you know what? Like, the NCAA would make that...
That's true. They totally would think, like, oh,
they would totally, Kansas City. They would totally punish
the
them.
The UM part doesn't mean anything.
So, before we get to the Scott Drew coaching tree of joy, I want nothing to do with Loyola Chicago, and I hope that they lose before we potentially have to play them, because I do not want that Sister Jean juju on me. I don't think we have anything to, like, counter that.
Yeah, I mean, do we have,
Chip and
like...
Joanna and their shipboard, clapboard, what, shiplap to Indianapolis.
I know, like, all of our celebrities are, like, Chip and Joe, the puppet guy.
Oh, yeah, no.
I just had a child ask
the
me.
The Bachelorette.
What? We have a Bachelorette?
JoJo.
I wasn't aware of this, so.
I think it was 2017 or 2018. I don't know.
I don't watch The Bachelorette because it really, really stresses me out.
But I feel like people talk about it. She's the one who's married or engaged to Aaron Rodgers' brother.
Oh, I do remember vaguely that. Anyway, yeah, we don't have anything to counteract Sister Jean. I mean, No.
This is like if you get nominated for an Oscar against a guy who died that year.
That's not fair.
It really does. It feels like that. Like, it might be your greatest work of all time, but, like, if you are going up against Heath Ledger and he died, you're probably not going to win. And that sucks.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just got to hope that you have another good run in you as an actor. And I just feel like if we are playing against her and she's, like, 101... 103, however old she is.
Like, our homecoming queen my senior year was definitely chosen by the faculty.
Did you see the... There was a mom and a daughter who rigged a homecoming queen election. I think maybe it was Florida, because of course it was Florida. But they have both been charged with, like, crimes.
That's not real.
Because it was, like, online voting.
What?
I know.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, like, but homecoming queen is, like, the dumbest thing ever to win.
Yeah. Right. But I don't
take it from a cheerleader who was also in student government. It's the worst. Yeah. Anyway. On that note, Scott drew coaching tree. Have they been having a good week?
They've been having a good week. I'm sad for sweet little Grant McCasland because they did not win their matchup against Villanova. And also, I was a little bit stressed out about the idea of having to play him in the Sweet 16.
Oh, yeah.
But also, it would have meant a week of Coach Scott Drew coaching tree
this
stories,
true.
And that would have been heartwarming. But Paul Mills and Oral Roberts University are still alive. And today we had the pleasure of listening to that Field of 68 podcast where they had Matt Driscoll, Tang, Scott Drew, and Paul Mills together. And it was like the best hour of podcast ever.
It was so enjoyable, but it also was like very much squirrels at a rave.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure it is exactly what it would be like if somebody recorded the first, like, 30 minutes where you and I chat before we actually start recording, where it's just like, blah, 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 blah. That is what it was like. But dad jokes?
Yes. But, like, they just have, because all of those guys were there, like, in 2003. Yeah. And there is so much rich history there. So first of all, you've got that little aspect where it is like confirming everything that you believe about them as men. Where Scott Drew was like, I know that Paul's going to get embarrassed and get mad at me for telling this story.
And I am convinced, like,
when you get promoted, you get a car. And he gave his old car to a woman he used to see walking to the bus stop every morning to go to her job.
Here's the thing. This podcast left me convinced that, one, you cannot tell an embarrassing story to Scott Drew. Like, if you are sitting around a campfire sharing a bottle of wine and everybody's like, what's your most embarrassing moment ever? Don't tell Scott Drew because he's going to bring it up in a podcast later on. Absolutely.
Except that it's going to be one that makes you sound good.
Right. I mean, it'll be a heartwarming most embarrassing moment. But
yeah.
Also, don't tell him secrets.
Yeah.
Or maybe do, but like not ones that, anyway, you know what I mean. And then the other huge impression I had was just like they were talking about how when they all came to Baylor and were starting out that they were young and that they just like had no idea what they were getting into. Yep. And you know, they were on recruiting calls with kids at 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. and then they would get up and go for, you know, Driscoll would go for a run and, you know, then they'd start it all over again and people were sleeping in the office and they were on the road all the time. And all I could think was, you know, I think Paul said he was like 29 and Scott was 32 and Jerome was 37 and all I could think about was I was 30 when I went back to school with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old and what that felt like, and like the bone chilling tiredness mm-hmm. of what that meant. And my experience with that was really similar in terms of I was up till 11 and 1 a.m. doing homework and
not sleeping. Yep.
And not sleeping and trying to get stuff done when my kids weren't awake. And how similar an experience would that be? And how, you know, they didn't say this in the podcast, but how I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, but I'm glad I did it.
Right.
And now I'm curious, like, do they feel the same way? Would they not wish it on their worst enemy, but they're so glad they did it?
And, like, you knew eventually you would get a degree. You knew eventually, like, this was an attainable thing that, like, you could control.
Yeah.
Whereas so much of coaching is not...
That's very true.
...in your control. And so, like, to go into that situation, sleep so little, do it all on just, like, hope, and to do it with, like, a happy heart blows my mind. I don't know how they did that, but y'all, if you have not listened to that podcast yet, please do it, because there are so many things that I, like, wrote down as I was listening to it, and I just can't do it justice to, like, relay it over our own podcast, but there will be so many moments where you're just like, yep, these guys are exactly who I thought they were, and I love them so much, and they love each other so much, and it was so fun to just listen to them, just hang out, be a bunch of guys, like, going into the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. Started from the bottom, now we're here. I bet they listen to that song. I bet they love the heck out of that song.
I don't know that song.
Drake?
We've already established that I don't know Drake.
I don't know, like, music, but I know that one because that was our, like, 2013 Big 12 championship.
Like, I know that the phrase started from the bottom, now we're here, is a phrase from a song, but I could not tell you what song, what it sounds like. I don't know. I guess I need to go listen to that, huh?
We are big nerds. Big old geek faces. Conference pride.
I'm sorry.
I think that we covered this. It's not necessarily that the Big Ten and the Big 12 were overrated all year. It's that they played really hard schedules and had bad games and bad matchups. But also, maybe we did underrate the Pac-12.
Yeah. And maybe part of that is that none of us are, well, maybe me, but none of
nobody
us are.
Nobody wants to stay up that
nobody's
late.
Nobody's awake when they play.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't be awake if they played at 8 o'clock p.m. my time, but...
That's true.
I'm certainly not staying awake for an 11 p.m. game.
No.
Not doing that. Okay, so something that I think was special about this year's bracket is that Baylor has the opportunity to get revenge for a couple of knockouts from years past. Obviously, on Sunday, we beat with Wisconsin, who knocked us out in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do get to play Gonzaga again, they will be the last team that knocked us out of the tournament.
Yep.
Do you want... Okay. We are going to release all superstitions right now and wander into the world of fantasy and say, do you want to play Gonzaga in the championship? Like, would that be the team you want to be going up against?
That is what I have as my championship.
Take away bracket points. If you want Baylor to win the championship,
I mean,
is Gonzaga who you want to play?
Kind of, because I'd like to see a battle of two small private parochial schools.
Right.
So
one believes in circumcision, one doesn't. Remember the Gonzaga family at Graham's school who's, like, rapidly
anti-circumcision?
Oh my gosh.
I forgot about that. I was like,
battle of the circumcisers.
They're Catholic. I don't understand how this goes.
Yeah, along. I didn't see that one coming either.
Yeah, I mean that. I would like to see that matchup. Yeah. Sort of. I don't know. It makes me nervous, but I also really want it. So.
I think in the sense that like. Everyone would walk away from that and be like, okay, the team that won is truly the best team this year in college basketball.
Yeah.
There would be no, like, this team just had a bad night or this team had a really lucky draw. Because the big knock against, and I think everyone needs to just abandon their Scott Drew doubt, but the big knock against what Scott Drew's teams have been able to do in March Madness has been that they have somehow lucked into paths where the higher seeds are knocked out in upsets. And so they are always playing lower seeded teams. So there is a segment of the population out there that would definitely say, well, they just got lucky and they didn't have to play Gonzaga if Baylor didn't have to play Gonzaga. Yeah. And I don't really care about them. But from a legacy standpoint.
Yeah, I definitely, I want to make sure that we earned our way to where we are. And during the game on Sunday. So I've been trying to learn more. Like, I feel like I know a lot about basketball. I know a lot about, like, past players. I don't know a lot about, like, the mechanics of basketball, like high post, low post, why do we not really have centers anymore like we used to? Like, how do I know if our big men suck? That sort of thing. What's a Euro step? If someone wants to explain it like I'm five, what a Euro step is, I would love that. But like, I want us to earn our way there. And so anyway, a friend texted me this weekend and was like, we're playing really good. Like, we're playing like a national championship team. Like, I can watch us and say, ooh, that was a good game. Like, I thought we did really well. I can't watch us and say that was like, we're playing like a team that can win.
Yeah.
But so I appreciate when people text me and, like, I feel good about how we're doing, but also I don't know anything. Like, I don't know. I'm a big words of affirmation people. Like, am I understanding things well or am I not? Tell me if I get what's going on, you know?
Oh, my understanding is extremely rudimentary, but I know that, like, if the other team is like turning it over a lot.
Oh yeah.
That usually correlates to us playing really good defense. And if they are not able to get a shot off, like, I think they had like a few shot clock violations, Wisconsin did.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me feel very good because I know that the Baylor defense is just frustrating the hell out of them, which is the perpetual state that I would live in if I were a basketball player. I would just be so frustrated. I would want to get down on the floor and cry anytime anyone was like in my face. Oh, it looks so frustrating.
Yeah.
But anyway, I felt good about that. And then I mostly just look at Twitter and I see all of the like big college basketball analysts being like, okay, Baylor's back. This is the Baylor of early February.
Like, I don't want to know that because then I'm like extra nervous because then I have like expectations.
I know, but it like it calms me down. It's like when Matt will sometimes be like, I'm not worried at all. Even though I'm worried, it makes me feel good that he says that.
Matt and Kendall, I'm still waiting on Kendall and
David to freaking release a podcast for this week because I need to know how stressed out I need to be about Villanova.
Yeah, I need the pod, record the podcast. I need to know if I need to be nervous.
We are playing in the same place that we played on Sunday, which is also where Scott Drew played when he was a student. So I like to think that that's magic.
Oh, it's definitely magic.
And I don't want to say this, but like this year's trajectory has been reminding me a lot of 2012 in terms of like big upsets happening to other teams, us getting to play early, me getting to relax.
You shut your dirty whore mouth.
So I'm like Elite Eight at least, but I want to go beyond that.
I hope everybody has fun.
And doesn't get hurt.
And nobody gets hurt.
I wonder which game they're going to play next in the bubble. I hope they play Guess Who.
Oh my gosh.
I love Guess Who so much.
I feel like they have expanded the inclusivity of Guess Who since we were kids.
They have.
Haven't they?
They have.
Yeah. I don't remember the ethnic diversity.
Indeterminate?
What?
There are some like characters on the board this year. Like now we have a recent addition.
Okay.
And maybe this is a good thing because like my go-to questions used to be like, are you a male? Are you a female? Oh, are you a male? And it would be like, yes.
Mine were
and
always so like, do you have glasses?
Do you have facial hair?
But do you have big eyebrows?
There are some that I don't know. So maybe I need to get rid of these binary options.
We have like non-binary Guess Who?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. I need to go examine our Guess Who a little bit more closely.
Non-binary, but like you cannot. There are a few that will make you. Okay. It's not an easy flip it down or flip it up. Yeah,
I'll have to check it out.
Anyway, though, I'd watch the heck out of them playing Guess Who, though.
I need honestly
more inside the bubble videos.
I need more inside. I want to see videos of the Uno matches because Uno can get testy.
Oh, also never ending.
Oh, I'm a sucker for Uno, but we only ever play Killer Uno. So
I don't know what that one is.
Oh, Killer Uno, you can stack identical cards. So like if you have multiple draw fours, you can play three draw fours on someone. Or there's like if somebody plays a red five, everyone has to touch their nose and the last person to touch their nose has to pick up the whole pile.
Oh, I think you're making this up.
I'm not making it up, I swear. But
I'm pretty sure you
super
are.
Fun. Anyway.
Mad tweets. Have you seen any mad tweets posts?
So many mad
Texas
tweets.
Texas still can't get over the fact that Baylor has an athletic department. And they at this really point, can. I don't know if they're mad about like 2003, 2016, whatever. But they're still just very angry and very much so wanting 18 to 22 year old guys to be punished for
the sins
that
of
almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
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 When they were children, babies, or not born yet.
A couple weeks ago, I literally saw somebody make a comment about Baylor basketball players being murderers.
Oh, cool.
Like, are y'all, one, what the hell? And two, are you kidding me? Like, were these kids even born then?
Right.
They probably were, but they were very, very small. Anyway, it's just...
I also just wonder how many people who make those comments, like, could actually give an account of what happened.
Yeah.
Because if they did, they would realize that nobody in the story is still affiliated in any way with Baylor.
Well, and... It's the football... program is not what murdered someone.
Like, right.
Like, unfortunately, the two are intertwined, and the investigations right. into the murder uncovered all these recruiting violations, but it's not like right. we're recruiting dudes who like to murder people.
Right.
Like that. You can't make.
You can't ask them to be nuanced.
No. But.
Or intelligent. Or fair.
My favorite weird. And I don't know if this qualifies as a sad fan tweet or more of like a astonished slash resigned fan tweet, but this comes from a Badger, a Wisconsin fan, who said, "My early concern in this game is Baylor's three-point marksman with a mother-effing serial killer mullet. That man doesn't give a heck what anyone thinks but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And then later he said, "Turns out he's from Austin, Texas, and a total psycho."
Who are they talking about,
Anna? It's Matthew Mayer time.
I love his coming out party for all of America to see.
It's
not like a coming out of the closet party.
No, I know
party,
what you mean.
Like his,
like he is now on. Like he's out in society.
Well, and he's also like
our precious
he's injecting his
debutante.
Little personality into like that Connect Four video. He's like doing commentary
yes.
in the background and that sort of thing. Like he might have a little something something. Oh, the whole like who would you not let your daughter date?
I was dying that every person, almost without hesitation, there was a little hesitation once or twice.
And then he did that follow-up interview with, like, one of the Big 12 podcasts, and he was like, "I'm really a good guy. Like, I'm a cool guy."
That's the funny thing is that, like, so I have a friend who, even before this, reminds, like, Matthew Mayer reminds me of him. And he is a person who is absolutely salt of the earth, would give the shirt off his back to help you, wonderful human being, and I would never ever let my daughter date him ever.
Cause it's chaos or what? Like
maybe I would let my daughter date him when he's 40 and she's like in her 30s and he's there's just, I don't know how to put my finger on it. I don't know. Maybe y'all can like help me explain this. Cause I feel like
yeah,
everybody,
I
knows
really
someone like that.
See, my big like no for my daughter would be a predator or, you know, like someone with, no like moral compass at all, and that's not the vibe I get.
No.
I don't just
as,
like is he
as
just like
two
a,
women who are married to trolls. How fun is it to be married to a troll
mullet.
Sometime?
Yeah, it's true. He might be a freaking troll. He might be a troll. It's
there
true.
Were multiple years in a row where my husband absolutely at every turn acted like he was a flat earther. Like 4 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But I love our potential troll,
Matthew
Mayer.
Are you a flat earther? We need to know.
He loves Long John Silver's, and that's all I need to know.
I mean, I'll be real honest that the only thing I truly love at Long John Silver's are the Krispies.
But, like, all Long John Silver's is the Krispies all over meats.
But it's... can I just get a bowl of the Krispies?
You can do what I do and just eat the batter off the meat.
Wait, that's how you also eat your fish? The way you eat, the way you eat your chicken is the way you eat your fish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I eat the shrimp, and then off of the fish, I eat the batter.
Do you eat the fish?
Not really. I mean, sometimes I have like half of it.
I have so many.
Tune in next week for As the World. Well, okay. So
anyway,
we're about to sign off, but I just want to say that like you had some tweet about the shrimp tails in the cereal, and you were like, so someone took the shrimp tails, opened the cereal, put it in there, yeah, and then like sealed it. And I'm like, I would absolutely do that to Todd.
You would totally do that. You're not Costco. And this store was trying to... Ugh. Okay, for those of y'all...
We didn't fill people in on this drama.
If you're not up on the drama, a comedian who is married to Topanga, is that... Am I right?
Topanga.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Comedian, married to Topanga. I can't think of her real name.
Danielle Fishel?
Yes. Fishel? Anyway, yeah, Danielle Fishel found shrimp tails covered in like cinnamon sugar, not just like they were in the same bag as the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, like actually crusted in cinnamon sugar in the bag, and tweeted at them and said, hey, FYI, I found shrimp tails. And they were like, oh, it's just crusted together cinnamon sugar. And he's like, no, it's shrimp tails covered in cinnamon sugar. And then so then he like dug through the bag and also found like string and like a weird piece of plastic and all this stuff and maybe rat droppings. And so like the prevailing theory is that a rat somehow got into the flour and was like, you know, this was its collection and a worker didn't realize this and it got mixed into the cereal. But anyway, General Mills and Cinnamon Toast Crunch are handling it horribly. And now like... a shrimp expert, a crustacean expert in LA has offered to look at the DNA of the shrimp.
Yeah, they're DNA testing
this. They're DNA testing the shrimp. Somebody's investigating the rat droppings. Like, there's all this going on. But in addition to this, like, one of the bags was opened.
Danielle Fishel is over there in a corner. She's looking and she is like laughing because she did all of this as an elaborate joke on her husband. This is what I want to believe. And she's got him.
Anyway, I discovered this at like 3 a.m. this morning and I was suddenly like not even mad that I was awake at 3 a.m. because I was laughing so hard about...
I woke up to that. About the shrimp tails. I woke up to that story.
And about, like, there are so many people in the replies with, like, hilarious shrimp memes and comments. And
someone was like, hey, guys, I was working with my shrimp and I lost it. Yes. And it could be in this place or this place.
It was Paul F. Tompkins.
That was it.
It was like, so I lost some of my shrimp. Has anybody seen them? They might be at the cereal factory.
I was at the cereal factory.
I'm dying. I've been thinking about shrimp stuff all day long because of this. And
the Suez Canal.
Oh yeah. And so then then I got derailed by the Suez Canal being blocked by a super carrier. So it's been a not very productive day.
And this, I swear this is the last thing for tonight. You are traveling.
I am.
And you asked me a very important question last night, and I fell asleep before I could answer you, and I answered you 12 hours later. Yes, you should bring your hoodie you're traveling.
Yeah, I have to travel this weekend. I'm not entirely sure I'll be able to watch any of the game. Maybe the very end. I might be able to watch the end. Is it what? It starts at 4:15?
Yes. Are you...
I might be able to watch, like, the second part of the game. The part that matters.
I was freaking out that our soccer schedule would conflict with this, and I'm happy to report that it does not.
When I booked...
But I was like, do I love my child, or do I love soccer, or do I love Baylor?
Booked
more?
This trip, we were not in the tournament yet. And then when I confirmed the trip, I thought maybe we would play on Friday.
Yeah, because they change all of our schedules around.
Yeah. So But I am going to be semi-comforted that the trip that I'm going on is with a good friend who is also a basketball fanatic. And so at least if I have to suffer, he has to suffer too. So
I'm kind of jealous that you'll just have to be oblivious for a little while.
You can come join me.
Huh?
You can come join me.
Well, no.
I'm going to be in Texas.
I can't stand it. I need to be on my Peloton. I have the exact same outfit that I wore on Friday. And this past Sunday, I've already washed it. My Peloton outfit is hanging in the closet, complete with the headband that I wore.
This is dedication.
And I will be on that bike at 4:15 or whatever. Okay. We hope that we have an opportunity to talk to you guys next week as we are celebrating our first trip to the Final Four. Please, Lord.
Fingers crossed. Prayers. We're knocking on all of the fake wood around us right now.
All of the fake wood.
We're going to go outside, spin around.
We hope Loyola gets knocked out by someone else, because I don't want to have to go against Sister Jean.
Maybe Sister... Never mind.
Arkansas?
Not gonna
are they
say
playing
that,
Arkansas?
That's horrible.
You were going to say maybe she's going to die.
No,
you
I wasn't. I was just going to say
yes,
maybe
you
Sister
were
Jean
say that.
Will like, not be able to make it to the game.
Oh, bull butter.
She'll be stuck in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... Does Sister Jean okay. get a... police escort like the basketball teams do? Who knows?
Probably. She probably will. Let's be honest.
I would give Sister Jean a police escort.
I would too.
Love you, Sister Jean. I'm sorry.
Okay. Sick 'em Bears.